This week, we'd like to draw your attention to chapter 3, beginning with verse 3 this morning, the ministry of John the Baptist. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." When a king was going to travel in a certain part of his domain, they would send couriers before the king months in advance, and they would announce to the people that the king would be making a visit in this area next spring. So get everything prepared for the king. Prepare the ways and go out and fix up the highways. Smooth out the rough places. Straighten out the crooked paths. And fill in the ditches and level off the high places. It was so that the king might travel in comfort as he comes into the area. And so there was always that that preparation for the king, going before and saying, "Let's get the roads all fixed up, for the king is coming." Now, John the Baptist was a forerunner of the king. It was prophesied of him at his birth by his father that he would be called the prophet of the highest, for he would go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That is, he was coming to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And thus he was calling on the people to repent, telling them that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But the preparation that John was calling them to was an inward preparation, a preparation of their hearts and of their lives for the coming of the king. Prepare ye the ways of the Lord. There is a certain preparation that is necessary in our lives as we are to meet God. There are some people who are very cavalier concerning God. They make reference to God in irreverent ways. They sometimes refer to him as the man upstairs or the big daddy in the sky. But the Bible says that holy and reverend is his name. The Jews have such respect for the name of God that they will not even try to pronounce it. They will not even write it. Even when they write the word God in their letters, they will write G-D. They won't even spell out God. They have such reverence for God and for the name of God. And though Jesus has come and has made access to the Father for each of us, I believe that it is wrong for us to have that kind of a casual, cavalier way of making reference to God. He's not your good buddy. He is holy. He is awesome. He is the creator of the universe. He said, "Reverence ye not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence?" The psalmist said, "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord." And again he said, "Let all the earth fear the Lord and stand in awe of him." Under the law, they were commanded in Deuteronomy 6:2 that you might fear the Lord thy God and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you in chapter 10:12. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 10:20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him only thou shalt serve, and him and to him thou shalt cleave and swear by his name. In the 13th chapter, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave to him. Note some of the things that the Proverbs said about the fear of the Lord. Here we're commanded over and over, fear the Lord or reverence the Lord. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Lord is understanding. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And on in the book of Proverbs, it speaks about the fear of the Lord and what it means and what it does. Now, the people had not been obeying the Lord. They had not kept his statutes and his commandments, which they were commanded to do. They had not been walking in his ways to love him and to serve him. And the Lord is now coming. He's going to visit his domain, this portion of his domain. He's coming to walk among men. And so John is out there telling the people, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Notice the command is personal. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It's something that you must do in your own heart and in your own life. Basically, John is saying the king is on his way. Prepare yourself for his coming. Now, why is it necessary that they should prepare the way for the Lord? Number one, no man can stand in the presence of the holy God in his sinful state without being consumed. Jesus one day was talking to the Pharisees. He gave them a parable. And then as he explained the parable, he said, "Have you not read concerning the stone that was set of naught by the builders, how it had become the head of the corner?" And then he admonished them that if they would fall upon that stone, they would be broken. But whomsoever it shall fall will be crushed to powder. In other words, if you cast yourself upon the Lord in your sinful state, you will be broken, but you'll be forgiven. But if you seek to resist the Lord, you'll be ground to powder. Their hearts were not prepared for the visitation of the righteous king. I believe that the message of John was very relevant for his day. We read in the first part of the chapter, as John dates for us, Luke dates for us the time of the ministry of John. He said it was in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. Now, Tiberius Caesar was referred to in history as insolent, proud, licentious, evil. He was a horrible man. In fact, he was so horrible that he moved to Crete and began to live such a wicked, horrible life that he's just sort of dropped out of the scene. And in Rome, they thought he was dead. And so they appointed a new Roman emperor, Caligula. And when Tiberius found out that the new emperor had been appointed, he tried to raise an army, but the men took a pillow and suffocated him to death to get rid of him. Unrighteous rulers always create an unrighteous social environment. And in Israel, the social environment was very unrighteous. We're told that Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest. And we know that Annas and Caiaphas were both Sadducees. They were the people who were the humanists of that day. They did not really believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe in angels. They were materialists. Actually serving for profit. They were the ones that had made the house of God a den of thieves. They had begun to merchandise in the temple. They opened it up as it became sort of a bazaar and were making profit off of the people. A corrupted priesthood always leads to a corrupted practice among the people. We're told by Josephus that the streets of Jerusalem were ruled by gangs. There was all kinds of gang warfare, territorial warfare. And it was sort of the oppression of the weak by the strong. Sort of the might is right kind of philosophy. Whoever has the most power rules and sets the rules for others. It was a time of spiritual, moral decay, decline. Into this environment, into this atmosphere, the king is coming, the righteous, holy king. And so John is out there telling the people, look, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths. I believe that Billy Graham has been used of God as sort of a modern day John the Baptist, in that he has been addressing the moral and social conditions of the world today and calling on people to prepare the way of the Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is on his way again. I believe that he will soon be visiting the earth once more. And many of you are not really prepared for his coming. Should he come today for his church, many of you would be left to face the great tribulation. The moral conditions of the earth today are much as they were when Jesus first came. I cannot believe how relevant the message of John is for the hour in which we live. But the question is, how are we to prepare? John, first of all, said, make straight his paths. John sort of repeated this when he said, make the crooked paths straight. Some of you have been doing things that are pretty crooked. You've been cheating others. You've been profiting through deceit and fraud. And you've been taking unfair advantage of other people. Crooked ways. When the tax collectors came to John, they said, what shall we do? And John said to them, don't exact more than what is appointed to you. In other words, be fair. You see, in those days, the tax collectors had a lot of power. And they were given a certain amount of money that they had to turn over to Rome for their district. But anything they could collect over that amount that was to be sent to Rome, they could keep for themselves. So they were notorious crooks. And people hated them because they were always pressing for more taxes than were actually due because they could keep the surplus. They got the salary from Rome, but they were cheating people in the taxes and pressuring people and using the power of government to get from people what was really not due. And so when they came to John, the crooks came to John and said, what shall we do? He said, hey, straighten up. Don't exact more than what is due. Quit your cheating. Now, you may be seeking to justify in your mind what you are doing. Actually, they're not paying you what you are worth. Well, who in the world does get paid what they're worth? And you may justify in your mind, you know, the fact that you're fudging a little bit. But in reality, you're just a plain crook. And you're a crooked ways. And John is saying, straighten out the crooked paths. He said, every valley shall be filled. Now, a valley is a depression in the landscape. You know, I have faced a lot of depressed people. People who are in deep depression. Deep valleys. And I have come to believe that much of the depression that people experience is due to selfishness. That they think too much about themselves. They're always there thinking of how I feel about this, what they've done to me, and how horrible my lot is. And you see, it's self-centered thought. It's thinking about yourself. And believe me, anybody think about themselves are going to get depressed. And I think one of the best cures for depression is to start thinking about others and what I can do to help others and become so involved in others that I don't have time to worry or think about myself. Back in my junior high school days, before the Supreme Courts and federal courts had stepped into the public schools and messed things up so horribly. We used to have highway clubs right in school. And in the highway club, to join the club, part of the whole initiation into highway was to memorize the poem called Others. Now, this is horrible, you know. We shouldn't teach our children these things. It's, you know, we've got to separate church and state now. But we memorize this in school. school in the Highway Club, and I still remember it. But I don't see what's so horrible about it. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the things I do to ever be sincerely true and know that all that I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live for thee. And you see, now we're teaching, though, self. Think about yourself. Self-esteem. You know, we've got to live self. We got to, instead of others. And I think that's a part of the problem of our society today, is people are thinking too much about self and not enough about others. And every valley shall be filled. Let's start filling the valleys, thinking of others. Paul the Apostle said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the result will be, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. You know, it's what you allow yourself to dwell upon, what you're thinking about. You're always thinking upon yourself. And self-centeredness, you'll be depressed. Start thinking about others and the depression will leave. So the people asked John, what shall we do? And he responded, if you have two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And if you have meat, let him do likewise. In other words, start thinking about how to help meet the needs of others rather than how your needs aren't being met. They're not fulfilling my need, kind of a bit. The hills, he said, are to be brought low. We often refer to people as high and mighty. People who are lifted up and exalted with pride. Isaiah said, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. We're told to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. You lift yourself up, you're going to be brought down, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's the idea of bringing down the high, filling up the valleys, getting a moderation in life. The soldiers asked John, and what shall we do? And he told them not to accuse any man falsely and don't abuse their power and their authority. Those who have been lifted up, been given authority, don't misuse that authority. Don't exalt yourself. But realize that if you've been put in a position of authority, you've been placed in that position by God, and with authority comes tremendous responsibility to use that authority right. And this is the biggest problem I feel in our society today, is that we have men in authority without morals and without moral values, and thus there's always the abuse of power. It's inherent with power today is the abuse of power. And so John is saying, get ready for the Lord. He's coming. Straighten out those crooked paths. Get out of your depression. And get out of that feeling of lofty above others. Bring down the high places. And he said, and the rough places shall be made smooth. Can you think of any rough places in your life? I know you have to rethink hard, but just think real hard and see if you can think of some rough places in your life that maybe need smoothing out. I'm afraid there's a lot of smoothing that needs to be done in all of us. But let's prepare our hearts. The Lord is coming. The King is coming. Let's prepare our hearts. And with David, let's pray, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, any rough places, any high places that need leveling, any low places that need filling, any crooked places that need straightening, that my heart might be prepared thoroughly and completely for the coming of the King. You see, the King wants to come to you today. And if you will prepare your heart, you'll find that the King will come and visit with you. And you'll know the excitement and the thrill and the joy of fellowshipping with the King. Shall we pray? Father, do prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Help us, Father, to straighten out the crooked paths. Help us, Lord, to fill in the valleys and to bring down the high places. And Lord, smooth out the rough spots in us. That as you come, Lord, you might be comfortable as you travel with us and walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I wanted to close today with the song, Search Me, O God, but I couldn't find it in the hymnal. I thought it was there, but I didn't find it. But it's really just a repetition of David's prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me. And lead me, Lord, in your way everlasting. And I think that needs to be the prayer of our hearts as we go. Lord, show me what needs to be done in my life that I might prepare my heart for your coming. The crooked places that need straightening. The rough places that need smoothing. Lord, come. Walk with me. And may that be the case for you this week. May you walk with the Lord in fellowship. May your heart be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for all that he's done for you. And may you take opportunities to share what he's done with you with others as you minister to others in his name.